some of you have managed to stick with me here for several episodes, maybe since the beginning of the series, yet you're still asking yourself, Shree, where's the seal stuff? You're like the old lady in the old Wendy's commercials. Where's the beef? Well, today may be one of the more seal-ish podcasts. Not that we're going to talk about a whole bunch of war stories. I won't dwell on that generally in this series, but we'll talk about some things like working out and nutrition, but in service of a larger goal. I'm drinking some coffee here. I'm probably on my second cup from my favorite cafe near where I live. And I'm probably drinking this still mainly because I'm intermittent fasting. I haven't eaten since late last night. Yesterday was Super Bowl Sunday. I can't say I ate too nutritiously yesterday. I made my famous chili. I used a mix of chorizo, ground beef, and stew meat this time with some pinto beans, lots of guajillo chilies, maybe some New Mexico chilies in there, if I recall correctly. It was pretty great. Made a vegetarian option for my son. The whole reason I bring up what I ate last night and the fact that I'm intermittent fasting, which, by the way, if you are interested in intermittent fasting or just love to nerd out about diet stuff, I have an article on Medium that I'll link in the show notes. It's probably my best performing article on Medium, and you can check out the rest of my stories on there as well. The reason I bring up nutrition is because I was thinking the other day about what my workout routine is and how I can improve my nutrition here in 2020. I was thinking about nutrition and how my workout regimen is going and how I can improve in 2020. And somehow the concept of skinny fat popped in my head. And skinny fat might be a good band name. I remember a kid in high school who really liked the band Skinny Puppy. I think they were really heavy, even heavier than System of a Down by about 10x. Loyal listeners will remember that we talked about System of a Down in the last episode. Except Skinny Fat would probably be a better hip-hop act name. Nevertheless, Skinny Fat is not referring to any musical artist or duo or ensemble of any kind. It's referring to the idea that someone can be skinny, and so when they have clothes on, go to work, what have you, they look pretty healthy. They feel healthy. And maybe even in the mirror, they regard themselves as healthy. Obviously, every time people look in the mirror at themselves, they apply probably one of two lenses. Either they think they're more unhealthy than they are, or they think they're healthier than they are. I doubt very much that most people think they're exactly as healthy as they really are. Ironically, it's not the sort of thing I think where if you ask everyone whether they're an above average driver, you'll get a disproportionate amount of people saying they're an above average driver, which is mathematically absurd. So here with nutrition, it's, I think, a bipolar effect amongst the population. Someone can have a high level of fat underneath the skin and have very little muscle mass. Maybe their body mass index is actually pretty reasonable, maybe even better than average compared to the population of America, which, granted, is not that hard. But skinny fat is generally not where you want to be. It's not that everyone has to be a bodybuilder or have six-pack abs. I'm not going to preach that that's how you need to construct your life. However, building some strength and building some muscle mass and eating healthy will have long-lasting effects. And I think this is pretty well documented at this point in 2020, so I'm not going to dwell on that too much. I did say all the nutrition talk was in service of a larger goal. When I thought of the term skinny fat, I immediately questioned whether someone's life could be skinny fat. Part one, consumption. When you're skinny fat, you may not binge too much on foods. You may not eat less healthy than the average person, but you're probably not optimizing your nutrition. You're probably consuming less protein than you should. You're probably consuming more sugars than you should. You're probably not intermittent fasting or doing a ketogenic diet or slow carb. and you're probably not eating enough whole foods. Part two, production. When you're skinny fat, you're not working out a ton. You're not going to the gym every day. You're not lifting hard. When you do go, you're probably not exerting a ton of effort, and you're definitely not disciplined about it. You're probably consuming a lot more of the time than you're producing. Again, this is not a show that's sort of your stereotypical military guy podcast. We talk about a lot of things that span a ton of different topics here. But if it were, maybe we'd talk about jiu-jitsu half the time. And I'd regale you right now with the art of Chilean jiu-jitsu. It's a very mountainous form of jiu-jitsu, and it's a little spicier than Brazilian jiu-jitsu. When you're producing, though, you're working hard and doing new things. Maybe you're sore the next day, or occasionally, especially if you're starting out again, you might get something called two-day sore. I wonder if there's an equivalent to that sort of soreness in real life. I don't think there is quite, but the habits and the pushing hard and the pushing the envelope and the routine of that regimen, I think, do apply. Part three, synthesis. At the behest of Tim Ferriss for as long as I've been listening to him and a whole bunch of other people on the interwebs, Ryan Holiday is another one, I've finally gotten around to reading some Marcus Aurelius, especially Meditations. I had seen quotes, of course, but now I'm actually in the middle of Meditations and I can fully endorse it. There's a particular quote that has stuck with me here. I've got it in the highlights of my Kindle. It's pretty lengthy. I'll go through it here. Please bear with me. I'm not going to have any sort of sound effect on the quotes here. I'm not going to emphasize my voice in a particular way. Dan Carlin of Hardcore History has a great, intense voice he really uses in the quotes. It really, really keeps you entertained. Of course, he's talking about blood and gore of Genghis Khan. I can't remember how we're supposed to pronounce it now in the 21st century. There's a podcast also called Skeptoid, and he's got a sound effect on it that makes him sound like he's from a 1950s news broadcast. I will have none of these, except your rapt attention. Here's the quote. If thou workest at that which is before thee, following right reason seriously, vigorously, calmly, without allowing anything else to distract thee, but keeping thy divine part pure, as if thou shouldst be bound to give it back immediately. If thou holdest to this, expecting nothing, fearing nothing, but satisfied with thy present activity according to nature, and with heroic truth in every word and sound which thou utterest, thou wilt live happy. And there is no man who is able to prevent this. Again, that's Marcus Aurelius from Meditations. There's a lot there to unpack. We could spend several episodes on this. We may revisit it from time to time. Just to unpack a few things here for this episode, I think that his emphasis on reason permeates Meditations. It's here again. The divine part he's referring to is kind of this agnostic divine essence, which you can refer to as a soul. You can think of it in a theistic sense. You can think of it just as your reason or your mind or your true self. Whatever that means to you, I'm guessing that Marcus Aurelius would be okay with that, even though he's not here to verify. I think another aspect of this is talking about sort of that which is before thee, the work that you have to do. And in this and another quote that I really liked recently, which was about being honest with yourself about what you're doing, is something you're doing according to reason or something that you're doing according to your animal nature. And he says that while he certainly expresses a preference for the reason and the sort of prudence, he simply requests that the reader be honest with themselves about whether they're doing something of an animal nature or based on reason. And again, that sort of work that is before them and spreading justice throughout the land. He doesn't say it in those sorts of words. it's not a Marvel comic. If you're living a skinny fat life, you're probably not doing, quote unquote, the work that is before you or living according to thy inner divine self. Probably not using reason or prudence or being really truly happy with the result. Probably chasing something on the hedonic treadmill where in nutrition and in physical form, those things like eating sugars and fast food and that consumption side, maybe we could think of that in terms of the kinds of time you're spending consuming whatever, TV shows that are not really valuable to you. And I'm not saying that all you need to watch are TED Talks and DIY YouTube videos, but I think there's a certain feeling one gets when you consume something right before you start it. You know, do you feel guilty a little bit while you're doing it? And afterwards, what's the sense of satisfaction, closure, thoughts that you have after you consume it? And how much time are you spending consuming those sorts of things as opposed to consuming the sorts of pleasures in life and content which will really be wholesome and fulfilling? There's that word wholesome that people don't use that much anymore, but is useful to think about in terms of how you spend your time. Is that thing wholesome? Meanwhile, on the production side, how are you spending those hours where you're actually working and producing? It may be hard to take that leap from the gym to real life work, but let's think this through for a second. If you're chasing tasks that are produced by stress or anxiety, then maybe those are examples of production that isn't true to that divine self and ultimately won't make you happy. Is tomorrow you, let's call you Silvio, you're a European soccer player slash model because they all are, with some sort of haircut that's a mixture of edgy, hipster, and Euro. So, all right, Silvio, so is tomorrow you going to be better off or happy or contented with what you did today in terms of work? Did you push the bounds? Did you take risks? Are you making an effort to lift some sort of weight or run some sort of distance that is going to result in gains and a sense of accomplishment? With a physical body, when you're skinny fat, if you're being honest with yourself, or if a friend is being honest with you, or if you compare to pictures on the internet, you'll immediately see where you're at, and you'll immediately see where you're going, what that end state is, if it's six-pack abs and built shoulders or something else. You can have that goal in mind, and there are, believe it or not, despite the troubles people have with this, there are tried and true techniques. There are tons of other resources on the internet. So what it really takes is commitment on your part to get there, not the lack of tools or knowledge. But with skinny fat life, it's much harder. Maybe this framework can help you think about it, but in actuality, the kinds of life you can lead that is something other than skinny fat, that kind of life that is wholesome and one you can be content and proud of. There are lots of different forms of that, and that really does depend on what you want to achieve and who you are. And since who you are is flexible over time and shaped by the past in large part and the people who have been around you, how do you determine who you're being true to? That's a topic to chew on that maybe we'll address another time. Money can be a proxy for some goals. And I think because it is an easy measure of things and consistent across people, I think a lot of people fall back on money as that measure. I think once you reach a certain point in life, you realize it can be a poor one. Maybe money is even a form of skinny fat consumption or production itself, how you spend money on goods and that effort to make money. Right? Tons of people end up in careers they don't like just because they make a lot of money. So could you do a BMI, a body mass index for yourself? Could you do a DEXA scan for your life? What would that look like? Now, one note on indulgences. No, I'm not talking about the kind of the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. I'm talking about indulgences for yourself in terms of sweets, let's say, in the physical form of skinny fat life or just fat life. Many people recommend scheduling indulgences for yourself or allowing yourself so much. I'm not sure why every single fitness writer and blogger and podcaster recommends this, except for just a rare few. Maybe it's because it's a little sugar to help the medicine go down and try and get people to commit to a program. Maybe it's easier if you're reading something, talking about a diet, if you can still tell yourself and your friends and those around you that, no, I can still have some chocolate or whatever once in a while. I'm not sure why that's so necessary, because what I found is with intermittent fasting, keto, those sorts of things, it's actually much easier and I feel much better about myself when I stay strictly to a program. My sense is that it's probably the same for life. When you consume very little nonsense in terms of content, you're much better off, I think. You don't miss it as much and you feel better about yourself and your mind can focus on things that you actually want that are true to yourself and aren't chasing something, again, on that hedonic treadmill or otherwise informed by a society that doesn't care about you and what you're trying to achieve. This may be ludicrous, but I was trying to think of an example for actual life and not fitness and nutrition that could maybe, I don't know, set in stark contrast the idea of scheduled indulgences from the opposite mindset. So I wonder if a career criminal who actually enjoyed their job, let's say a bank heist. I'm intentionally avoiding violent forms of career criminals for the purpose of this episode. So person who does bank heists, let's say it's Robert De Niro in Heat, or better yet, Tom Sizemore or Val Kilmer in that movie, which is amazing, because those guys clearly got off on bank heists. I think Val Kilmer's character in the movie calls that high from bank heist the juice. Pretty sure he's not talking about the actual money that comes in those big cargo bags they use. And so if we say to this gang, who Al Pacino's character is trying to track down as the detective with Magua, the guy from Last of the Mohicans, the Native American guy who is awesome in every single thing he's in. I especially like the scene where he's carrying the shotgun in the elevator. I don't know, just something about it. He looks badass. Anyway, do you think Al Pacino's character is telling Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, Tom Sizemore, and whoever the fourth guy is, I can't remember right now, hey, you need to quit bank heists. It's really a problem for everybody. And I like being a detective chasing you just as much as you like the heists. But maybe just take a break from the heists for 6 days, and then seventh day can be your cheat day. Okay, so on Sunday, you can rob all the banks you want. Just rob the biggest fucking bank you can find. Take as much money, because on Monday through Saturday, you're gonna fast from armed robbery. I realize this example is ridiculous, but I'm hoping that idea of fasting from some sort of criminal act is just as ridiculous and maybe can put some things in perspective. So, bottom line here, in order to avoid the skinny fat life, what should you consume? What should you produce? What should that life be like? There are plenty of self-help resources and authors, podcasters that I've referenced on this show. I'm not going to try to duplicate all of them. That is not the purpose of the Warrior Poet. And additionally, I don't know that all those other resources are going to have the complete answer, because I don't think they're addressing the skinny fat life. Marcus Aurelius does, but many of those authors are trying to get published and trying to get more ads for their podcast, and that's okay. But the easiest way to do that is by just promising you six-pack abs of life, which, again, there's no body mass index. There's no DEXA scan for life. So maybe it's the case, despite lots of great advice in a number of these places, they're promising you things that fall short. Nevertheless, here are a few thoughts. I think that alignment is important. So having as little tension as possible across the aspects of your life and how you think about things and your goals. Having that future Silvio with the Euro haircut, who's also a model and plays amazing soccer. Having that guy thank your present self and be contented with what you did today. And really valuing yourself today. So skinny fat Silvio can't get to Euro billionaire model Silvio without somehow valuing himself today. I don't think that it's possible to really make improvements in where you want to go by just beating yourself up all the time and doing things because you're guilty and you thought you could be in a better place and you thought you were better than that. Maybe you have imposter syndrome all the time. Whatever all these anxieties are that you might have, you're not going to get there if you don't value yourself, nor will I. And finally, the last pieces of guidance, at least as I've thought about it, feel free to hit me with your thoughts on this subject. The warrior poet does not pretend to have the final word on all things. Final thought, though, is the opposite of a skinny fat life is probably one where you make the hard routine and where you have some comfort with discomfort. Here's that other quote I alluded to earlier from Aurelius in Meditations. Well then, if it is useful to thee as a rational being, keep to it. But if it is only useful to thee as an animal, say so and maintain thy judgment without arrogance. Only take care that thou makest the inquiry by a sure method.
No, 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 no. Kevin, me no do it. Spita.